Much of what I was going to say today was said yesterday, but I would like to have as a starting point that religious freedom is a byproduct of another set of rights and freedoms, and it shouldn't be considered alone. I'm in support of the argument that I mentioned yesterday. I will expose two cases, Egyptian cases, and let them be considered by you. And this is, of course, to support what I was saying yesterday, that the political atmosphere has its bearings on religious freedoms and also on minority issues. Maybe these two cases do not necessarily talk about or are not about religious minorities as such, but certainly they have their bearings on the whole freedom of expression and other set of freedoms. The first case concerns a thinker, a very famous thinker in Egypt and in the Arab world and in the world in general, who's Tahsin, who started who started as a Azhar, as an Azhar scholar, and then, of course, developed his thinking and studied in France and came back with a new vision of many issues concerning or including maybe some taboos like religion and stuff like that. When he came back to Egypt, it was in the early 20s, Egypt was experiencing a very important part of its modern history. And it was after a revolution in 1919, and as some, you know, the gains of these revolutions consisted in having a secular system in Egypt. This was one of the gains the Egyptian people had, notwithstanding the colonial powers, but I mean the British, colonialism, but of course the British were forced to give Egypt at least a nominal independence, and they were also forced to give Egypt a semi-democratic system, semi-democratic. In this atmosphere, Taha Hussein wrote a very important book about Arabic poetry, nothing to do with religion. But in that book, he questioned the fact whether Arabic poetry before Islam was not subject to some additions at a later stage. And of course, this looking at it in a very deep way, it was also seen by some as having some, you know, something to do with having the Quran as a revealed text or as a non-revealed text, as a sacred text or as not sacred. So the Azhar and some ulama of the Azhar had a claim against, made a claim against Taha Hussein, and they wanted to consider him, they wanted him to be considered as an apostate, as an infidel, and that the book be banned from publishing. The case was brought to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor, a young man, not 28 years old, was called Muhammad Noor, wrote his you know, what he thinks of the on the admissibility of the case, and said that it is not acceptable in a country where freedoms are respected and freedom of expression is respected to bring someone, to judge someone on his own ideas, even if it has to do with religion. And he wrote such a beautiful, beautiful text that could be really taught as a model on the freedom of expression and how this right should be respected. End result, the case was inadmissible, and the book was published, and life went on normally. I'll take you from the 20s to the 90s, where another scholar, and I believe he's also one of the, you know, followers of Tahsin, whose name is Nasr Abu Zayd, who had his political views. This is first, I must emphasize this, against the regime, of course. And who also wrote some books also questioning the same exact idea on, you know, whether it is sacred or not, the Quran and the Hadith, and he wrote some. He had some ideas on that. As I mentioned yesterday, the constitution, the Egyptian constitution at the time had, it's in Article 2, Islamic Sharia as, or the principles, this is very important, the principles of Islamic Sharia as the main source for legislation. So, one of, an unknown person, really, a lay person, brought the case, brought a case against Nasr Abu Zayd, saying that he is this person, excuse me, because this is important, was using one of the Sharia ways of bringing a case to the court, and it's called hisba, where any public matter is a public concern to anyone in the society, and that anyone without having a special interest in the case, like the Egyptian law requires, you have to have a special interest in the case, you have to be someone that is related to the case. But by hisba, this condition is not required. You have to be only a person who is who lives in the society, and he has a special interest in general in upholding the principles of the society or the values of the society. So he used this way in order to bring the case against Nasr Abu Zayd, saying that he is that Article 2 of the Constitution allows him to use his right in hisba, and by that he is bringing the case before the court that Nasr Abu Zayd is an apostate, and therefore he should not be married to a Muslim woman, because his wife also was another Muslim, and because the Egyptian law bans between a Muslim non-Muslim man and a Muslim woman. The opposite is not banned. But anyway, so he should be divorced by law from his wife. An outrageous, outrageous ruling by the court, and unexpected, came out saying that this is that this person had the right to use hisba. He has an interest in the case, and that it's true that Nasr Abu Zayd is not a Muslim. He's an infidel, judged by his writings, and that the court at the end ruled that this marriage is nullified, and he is he had to divorce his wife by the force of law. Of course, this in the normal, in life did not happen. He immigrated to the Netherlands, and he stayed there and died a couple of years ago. But this is only to show you how, I'm not talking about the right of non-Muslim to marry a Muslim. This is not my issue at all. My issue is to look at it in depth and see how the same political, the same society, the same people, in a different political setting, can go to the extreme other case. And this is really it has to do with what we were saying yesterday, that the political atmosphere is the determinant factor in all this debate. We must also see how secularism, in the sense of laïcité, the split between what's religious and what is political, can really protect each of us's rights in freedom of expression and all other sets of rights. And I will only mention another case, but on the side, which also has some special significance in this debate, and this is the Baha'i case in Egypt. Sorry. Okay. I conclude by saying that it is always the political atmosphere that is the most important determinant factor in granting rights and freedoms to the society and its